Straight Heat continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time to break down the latest from college football with Spencer Hall of SB Nation. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
You know, when you're so big time that you get your own produced introduction to the show. He's Spencer Hall, covers college football for SB Nation, and every day should be Saturday. What's up, Spencer?
How you doing, sir?
Doing all right, brother. Appreciate you taking a little time to join us again. Always enjoy having you on and our conversations. Let's start with one that, you know, this I found this to be a little bit of a head-scratcher last week, that the very second he lost his job, he wanted to take his ball and go home, didn't want to fight for it, didn't want to try to re-impress the coaches, didn't want to try to earn his job back or anything. Kelly Bryant have a little buyer's remorse today for bailing on the team after he would have got a lot of playing time on Saturday.
Well, I mean, were they paying him? They weren't paying him, so no. Absolutely not. Also, I think Kelly Bryant, like everyone else who's followed the Clemson situation, knew what was up. Trevor Lawrence is the five-star can't-miss QB who, thus far in his freshman season, had looked exactly that. In addition to that, I think that Bryant's evolution, albeit I know it's early in his career, I don't think that when playoff time rolled around or even maybe ACC championship time rolled around, he was going to have quite the ceiling that people anticipated. So better to let him go now and transfer than you know, stay and fight for the job. He doesn't have a whole lot of time to fight for the job. Additionally, I don't think they're going anywhere with Trevor Lawrence, even post-injury, right? We all say this in hindsight, but in football, injuries are – they're not a fact of life for the game. They're a given. That's why you have a depth chart, right? That's why and think about how overdone football is anyway. We go three deep. Three deep at some positions in football, right, in college. That's absurd, and it's also a testament to how hard the game is on the human body. So I don't think there's any remorse. I think Clemson knew what they were doing when they let this all happen anyway. I think, like everybody else, we hope Kelly Bryant finds a good spot to land, right? And I'm glad we have more, I'm glad we have more liberal transfer rules than we've had before, because I think that's important. And in addition to that, I think it makes teams better a lot faster than usual, especially at the quarterback position.
So you're telling me you take this as Clemson knew they weren't winning a title with Kelly Bryant, so let's get our young guy up and running and learning as fast as possible so that we've got our shot maybe next year.
Oh, I think they knew Trevor Lawrence wasn't going to give up the job. It was a matter of time before Kelly Bryant lost that job to Trevor Lawrence. In addition to that, what model has worked really well for Clemson under Dabo Swinney? It's getting young quarterbacks in the game early. Remember, Deshaun Watson started when he was just a baby at Clemson. Taj Boyd, I believe, got lots of good early playing time. It's something that staff, through all their changes, has been very loyal to, and it's very hard to argue with the results thus far. Not only Clemson's best team and best run maybe ever in its history, in fact, I think it'd be hard to argue that it isn't, but one of the best runs nationally. So going with the young guy, especially when the young guy showed no fear whatsoever of either the job situation, position, or of his opposition on the team. Yeah, no, this was a done deal before any of this ever happened.
Now, I guess how would you compare the situation at Clemson to just the quarterbacks to the situation in Alabama, where Jalen Hurts was a quarterback last year, played every game right up until halftime of the national title game, and now he is, well, not firmly glued to the bench, but pretty much glued to the bench.
I think the difference in those positions is this, that Hurts really thinks, I think, that he could get spot time, at other spots on the field and both at quarterback by package. I don't think that was going to be the deal with Bryant, right? He and Trevor Lawrence, in terms of their basic approach to the skill sets, they're the same. Jalen Hurts is never going to be anywhere close to the passer that Tua Tagovailoa is. They play the same position, but they don't play the same position, right? And I think Jalen Hurts thinks that his chances either at the next level, right, or perhaps, you know, I think probably only at the next level, he thinks they're better off if he shows himself as a useful multi-purpose tool out of the backfield in any respect. It's very hard for me to assume that Jalen Hurts would stay at Alabama if he's not getting some sort of NFL-grade advice from either Nick Saban or the people at that program in terms of how he's going to grade out, right? But they think of everything. And Alabama, their pitches, their recruits are so detailed, and they're always NFL-centric. I can't see that being the difference. I don't think that's the case necessarily at Clemson. And also, I think those are two players who are more similar, and there's less room for them on the roster. Also, by the way, Alabama's winning games by such huge margins that Jalen Hurts is probably going to end up getting a pretty good number of reps anyway.
Talking with Spencer Hall, covers college football for SB Nation, and every day should be Saturday. Spencer, Stanford loses to Notre Dame. They didn't just lose, they got walloped. Did that loss effectively, A, kill the Pac-12's chances at the college football playoff, and B, make the chances really good Notre Dame makes the college football playoff?
Well, there's problems going both ways here. I think everyone's correct in saying that this is a massive dent to the Pac-12's overall chances of putting their champion into the playoff, because Washington already has one loss against Auburn, right? Which is looking worse and worse because Auburn's looking less and less impressive over time. So that, remember, we're all talking about how losses and a team's overall strength age, projected toward the end of the season, right? If Stanford wants to make the playoff, then they need Washington to look as strong as possible down the stretch. They need Notre Dame to look as strong as possible down the stretch. They need a lot of things to fall in their favor. It's out of their control right now. And unless you're really counting on Colorado to be a lot better than the teams Colorado has beaten so far, I believe are a combined 1-16 or 1-15 on the season, it doesn't seem likely that the Pac-12 is going to get someone in outright. And now the other way, Notre Dame's going to have the same problem that they've had in years past, where when, at the end of the year, if they have a loss, we're going to look and say, well, they don't have a conference championship game. They don't play in one. We can't add that to the record. And in addition to that, we have a serious issue with, you know, that one loss. Even if they're undefeated, you'll still be able to point to the conference championship game, right? So Notre Dame really needs Stanford to be as close to the playoff as possible, because this is going to be one of Notre Dame's better quality wins down the stretch. This is a real manageable schedule. And that's great for Notre Dame in terms of ending up undefeated potentially or with one loss. It's real bad in terms of, hey, we could already say the schedule's pretty manageable. That means we could already say that it's not the strongest resume and they're missing the championship game.
Well, I guess the point becomes, if Notre Dame is undefeated and there are not four other undefeated teams, are they really not going to vote for Notre Dame?
It's possible. It's entirely possible, depending on what those one-loss teams are. For instance, you can throw this entire equation, into disarray by saying, "Well, what if one of those one-loss teams is Alabama?" Because that game is easy, and that alone pushes Notre Dame a little bit off the map. And they got one loss. You got the quality loss. And in addition to that, look at the rest of Notre Dame's schedule. Is it going to be really convincing for me to say, yeah, they went undefeated. They beat Pitt. They beat Syracuse. Right? They beat Navy. Those are fine teams who work real hard and beat football sometimes in Pitt's case. But it's going to be very, very hard to look at that schedule stacked up against a one-loss team with a conference championship and maybe one quality loss, right? Like if Ohio, like say for instance, if Penn State does something like their only loss is Ohio State, but they win the Big Ten, right? Would you look at what happened against Ohio State in 2 months and say, I don't know, I'd rather put in Notre Dame? Probably not, especially if Penn State just goes ahead and runs the rest of their schedule. I don't think they're going to do that, but this is just a hypothetical.
No, I understand what you're saying. Spencer Hall covers college football for SB Nation at Every Day Should Be Saturday. And you can follow him on Twitter at EDSBS. Every Day Should Be Saturday at EDSBS. Spencer, always appreciate you taking some time with us, buddy. Enjoy our conversations. And we will talk with you soon, buddy.
All right. Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Spencer Hall, SB Nation.